Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank you for this preaching privilege. Father, we thank you now for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Now, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in our sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Pastor Rogers and my other brothers and friends in the ministry to this body of believers who have gathered together here on this occasion. Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. A word of forgiveness. These words capture the spirit of Jesus, who, though he was suffering injustice and cruelty at the hands of evil persons, desired that his Father showed him mercy and forgiveness. The very purpose for his coming was to make provision for forgiveness of sin.
Yes, sir.
Yet this forgiveness needed to be accepted in order for anyone to obtain salvation. Therefore, upon the cross, he prayed for those who stood below crucifying him. The cross is the first intercession of the Son of Man on behalf of all. He said, "Father, forgive them."
Yes, sir.
Not only was he practicing what he taught there in Luke, that 6th chapter, verses 27 through 28, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." But besides practicing what he had taught, he also was fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
Because Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, in the 12th verse says, "Therefore I will divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." The reason for forgiveness is because of our guilt and sin. Every one of us has sinned and come short. Forgiveness is the only solution. God's reason for forgiveness is his love and grace. He forgives us because he loves us.
Yes, sir.
And because he loves us, he moves in grace to save us. He used Christ's blood and our faith as a means of saving us from his wrath. Father, we want to thank you for your forgiveness. Amen. Amen.
took me 5 seconds to get up here, so 5 of my seconds are already gone. We give honor to God today, to Pastor Rogers, to Pastor Emeritus, Pastor Walker, to all of my preach brethren, and to all of you who are gathered with us on this day. I want to thank God for this pastor, for giving us this opportunity to stand with these giants and say a few words. I do have my son with me today in the ministry. Pastor Sales, wave your hand. See some other folks in First Baptist West End, so wave your hand. I got 5 minutes. Wave your hand fast. All right. Let's pray. Father, help in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I have the task of expounding on the second saying from the cross. And this saying is taken from Luke's Gospel in the 23rd chapter and verse 43. And it reads as following: And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. However, in order to appreciate the text, we must put this text in its proper context. And in order to achieve that, we must refer back to the 39th verse and the following. And it states in the ESV translations, One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, King James parenthetically says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Yes.
Verse 43 again, And Jesus said unto him, Truly I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. Since I've been given 10 minutes to tackle this task, I will not bore you with introductions or attempt to exegete this text by etymologically breaking down Greek words and explaining how they are used in these verses in order to validate certain theological suppositions. That I will not do. I am just going to step up to the plate, try to get on first base, and allow these commentators of cavalry to come behind me and knock this thing out of the park. So in my attempt to do this, I would like to share just a few nuggets from this text that first catches my eye, and that Luke in his gospel writer is the only one. Luke in his gospel is the only writer who shares with the reader the conversation that took place on Calvary. So with that being said, I want to talk just for a few minutes in my 6 minutes and 47 seconds about a conversion on the cross.
Yeah.
A conversion on the cross. Luke does this because his gospel, he emphasizes the truth of salvation. In Matthew, Jesus is sovereign. In Mark, he is the servant. In John, he is the son. But in Luke, he is the Savior. And he is the Savior seeking to save those who are lost. In recording in this Luke records the taunts aimed at Jesus. Luke shows the ridicule spoken by the rulers, the Romans, the robbers, and how they railed at Jesus because of his claim that he was the Savior. Luke states in this narrative, takes it a little bit further than the other three writers by explaining to his readers the great conversion that took place while the Savior was hanging on the cross. In the recordings of the scene of Calvary, the only thing Matthew tells us about this incident is that the robbers who were crucified with Jesus, there was one on the right and the other on the left. Matthew also tells us in this 44th verse of the 27th chapter that they also reviled him. I want you to pay close attention. They reviled him. The robbers reviled him. Stick a point in that because I'm going to bring that back in my points. Mark informs us in Matthew 15:27. He says, "And they with him, the two thieves, and one on the right hand. They crucified him. One on the right hand and the other on the left." And then he goes on in the 32nd verse in the B part says, "And they." faith, stick a pin in that again, that were crucified with him reviled him. John tells us in John 19 and 18 about this same incident. They were crucified with him, with two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. So when I look at this parallel of the Gospels and endeavor to paint a picture of a part of the event that has taken place here today, there are three things I want to drop on you, and then I'm going to have you out of here. Number one, the first thing that I see in this text is a plea for preservation. A plea for preservation. We are taught that the first law of nature is the law of self-preservation. And when we come to these two thieves, they were exercising their right to the fullest, to the utmost. Matthew and Mark gives us an indication that both of these men were initially railing and insulting Jesus. Notice that I said they were both railing and insulting Jesus. They were telling Jesus, if you are who you said you are, get off this cross and take us with you. In other words, they are saying, Jesus, if you got all power in your hand, why don't you do something with your situation and take care of ours? Ain't that just like us today, that when we are facing death, we want everybody to help us alleviate the pains of death. We want to do everything that we can escape death, but that's just built in you. It's just a law in you. You just don't want to die. These two men were just like us today. They just did not want to die. And they wanted Jesus to save them from this execution. They were straining for every option available because they didn't want to have to face death. They didn't care who Jesus was or what he can do. But if he can get them from the cross, they wanted him to do something about their situation. But then, lest I keep you too long, I've got to move through this text. I don't have time to develop that point too far. But not only do we see a plea for preservation, but we also see a plea for salvation. This particular comes at the most remarkable event that could have occurred. Again, Mark tells us that both thieves were railing insults toward Jesus, but suddenly there was a transformation that took place in a matter of moments. The heart of one of the thieves was changed, and he changed from reveling to repenting. All of a sudden, heaven spotlight shined on Calvary, and all of a sudden, the thief began to see Jesus for who he really was. But not only do we see the spotlight shining from Calvary on Jesus, but we saw the grace of God shining in the heart of the other thief. Can't y'all imagine that he was once railing with his other buddy, but all of a sudden, something took place. He looked at his other partner and said, hey, don't you feel God? Can y'all imagine? Can I use my imagination? That other thief probably, what you talking about? You just got to say the same thing I am. But he said, something that happened in a matter of moments. I see this man for who he really is. I did see him as just another brother hanging on the cross. But all of a sudden, he is the Son of God. The thief shows that he has a change in heart, because when he saw Jesus for who he was, he saw himself for who he was. He looked at his partner and said, we are hanging here for something that we have done. But this man hadn't done anything. We deserve what we got. He recognized the deity of Christ. He was the most unlikely person in the most unlikely place for the most unlikely purpose. One hanging on the cross, accused of a crime and experiencing excruciating pain, uncomplaining, freely forgiven. Who could but God? Notice when he pleaded for salvation, self-preservation went out of the window, because the next thing he said, he didn't want God to save Jesus, to save him from death. He said, remember me. when you come into your kingdom.
Yes.
Two things I can pick from that. The first thing, we shall remember when you come into your kingdom. He realizes that Jesus has a kingdom. And if Jesus has a kingdom, then Jesus must be a king. So he realized that Jesus was indeed the king of who he said he was. Now I gotta get y'all out of here, because the next thing I see, not only a plea for preservation, not only a plea for salvation, but I look at a promise of exaltation. Jesus is still the seeking Savior in Luke. And he is still portrayed as the one who seeks and to save those who are lost. Luke looks at him and says,
this day
I shall be with me in paradise. I don't have time to deal with this. My time is up. But one thing I can say, right this seat, I don't care what paradise is. I don't care where paradise was. But one thing I know, as long as Jesus is there, it's all right with me. And when I take my seat, excuse me, I got 30 more seconds. Is there anybody in here this morning, on this Friday morning, that will say, as long as Jesus is there, that's where I want to be. God bless you. Good evening. But as Johnny McCracken would say, I'm not concerned about the life. I'm not worried about the view. I don't care about anything. But as long as Jesus is there, that's where I want to be. Is there anybody in here know that Jesus will make a way out of no way?
Pastor Roger,
yes,
I'll never forgive you for this. My Lord and my God. My. Thank you, Pastor Rogers, for this opportunity. Amen. The other clergy that are here today, to all of God's children. I believe there are some of our sons. I believe I saw a couple of our sons from Friendship. Wave your hand. Amen. Praise God. A few members, I believe, here. We thank God for you. Amen. And we're just blessed here on this Friday, recognizing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago, did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Amen. Let us bow. Our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank you now for this another opportunity to stand and to be able to declare that we have victory because you died, but you didn't stay dead. You robbed the grave. You took the sting out of death. Now we bless your name now. Bless your people. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my God, my strength and my redeemer. And once again, I'm asking of thee, if you would hide me behind the cross and cover me with your precious blood. It is in Jesus' precious name we do pray and ask it all. For Christ's sake, amen. And thank God. I have been asked to elaborate on John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. There you'll find these words. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold
thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from the hour that disciple took her unto his own home. If I were going to tag this with a subject, I would say love has everything to do with it. Love has everything to do with it. We find ourselves at this appointed place, at this appointed time, where Jesus is there hanging on the cross. And he's there, and in part of his final sayings, he looks down at the woman that was the vessel to bring him into this universe. He looks down at a man that he sees is worthy. According to William Barclay, Jesus was not there absolutely alone. He was there surrounded at the foot of the cross with four women that thought enough of him to put their lives on the line. For it was imperative of the Roman government that anybody that was affiliated with a known criminal could also be led to crucifixion or chastised, beaten by any means that they so desired. These women supposedly were individuals who were thought of by some theologians as being insignificant. But when we look at these women, they were there because they realized that perfect love casts out fear. They were there on behalf of a man who had done so much in each one of their lives. Somebody ought to be able to testify today that he had done so much for me. There is something I find myself saying from time to time. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. You're looking at a man who's been through the storm and rain. I've been up and I've been down. I've been there where only God can raise me up. And I know I'm not in here by myself this morning. That somebody can testify that the Lord has been good. It was dangerous to exemplify love for those that had been sentenced to death. And there at the foot of the cross, we find four distinguished women that were there on behalf of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that whatever you're going through, there's always somebody who remembers that you had a relationship with them. There's always somebody that remembers the things that you did to be a blessing in their life. Make no mistake about it, there were those who hated Jesus. There were those, I believe my friend and my colleague said, that they chose Barabbas over Jesus. But the little voices of these women were said, no, not Barabbas, but give us Jesus. For Jesus is where our salvation lies. First of all, there is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she could not understand what was happening, but the love for her son compelled her to be there. I know that there are some mothers in the house that will tell you that whatever my child is going through with, I will be there for my child. My mind run back when I was a young man in the military, and Lord knows I would not stand here and lie to you. I did not know Christ. He was not a part of my vocabulary. But when I would come home, Dr. Hawkins, on leave, Mama would say, I'm praying for you. I didn't understand it then, but I heard somebody say, you will understand it better by and by.
Jesus might have been a criminal in the sight of others, but to her it was her son hanging there on the cross. The love of motherhood was there at the foot of the cross. I can only imagine what Mary could have been thinking during that hour and remembering the prophecy, what Simeon had said to her, bless them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I can imagine the pain and the heartache of Mary there at the foot of the cross. She realized who her son was. Remember there, John records that she said that whatever he tells you to do, you know, she knew that he was on a mission even before she spoke those words, because in her womb the angel said that this child that's being conceived of you is that of the Holy Ghost. Mary understood, but yet as a mother's love, I wish I had a witness here. I got to hear her sit down now because I'm beginning to feel this thing. Something about a mother's love. Yes. Not only was she there, but there with her was her sister Salome, the mother of James and John. And you remember her, because she's that woman that came behind her sons and said, can one of us sit on the left and one on the right? And she had the boldness to come to Jesus and request for her son to sit. But Jesus, in his own infamous kind way, shut her down and said, you don't know what you're asking here. Even your sons don't understand. This is that Salome that even though Jesus shut her down, how many of us can be criticized but yet bounce back and say, yes, I believe what you said and I still love you anyhow? A lot of marriages are still together because they didn't break up because of the shakeup. There are some that are still together because what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Yes, this was that Salome. And then there was the Mary, the other Mary, the wife of Cleopas, of which there was very little known about her. And there was Mary Magdalene, of whom Jesus had cast out many devils, with love for her, just as others whom he had saved from destruction was already manifesting itself. How could she not love and be there for this man who had done so much for her? Somebody ought to be able to testify here this morning that I can see so much what the Lord has done for me. Come what may, I'm going to serve the Lord until he calls my name. And can I remind us and tell us that all of us got a finishing day? And then when you look out at the cemetery there, you find the plaques that says, give date on one end and date on the other end. Born in one year and died in another year. But what is important is what happened between those two markers. Mary Magdalene was messed up on the front end, but she heard the voice of God on the middle end, and I can see her right now. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Yes. And when Jesus saw his mother, he could not but think of the days ahead. He could not commit her to the care of his brothers, for they did not believe in him. You find that in John chapter 7, verse number 5. But John had a double role with Jesus. Not only was he his cousin, but he was that disciple whom Jesus loved. He was that disciple who outran Peter there at the sepulcher on the third day morning. Therefore, Jesus committed Mary to John's care and John to Mary as her son, so that they could comfort one another while he were gone. Jesus, in his agony there on the cross,
fail not to remember his mother. While the salvation of the world was hanging in the balance, he was Mary's oldest son and savior of the world. But he did not forget the simple things of life. While on the cross, he made out his will. In his will, he says, John, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son. But can I tell you, about 5 hours later, something happened. He died on an old rugged cross. Out on a hill called Calvary. Can I tell you the story didn't end that? Early Sunday morning. I said, early Sunday morning. He got up with all power in his hand. Anybody know him? Shout glory. Hallelujah.
Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his word. His word is an entrance to life. It gives understanding to the simple. We will have no excuse. Now, the soldiers give Jesus vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. This was to dull the pain of execution. He refused it. Instead, he continued with his purpose to drink the cup which his father had given him to the last drop. His death was not only painful and cruel, but exceedingly shameful. It was what was inflicted on the meanest of persons as servants whose form Christ had taken, and upon the worst men as murderers, cut thieves, cut throats, thieves, and the vilest of men, among whom Christ was now numbered, and parted his garments, casting lots, and set upon his head his accusations written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The sign was written in Arabic, Latin, and Greek. He is pronounced the true Messiah, even by those who rejected him. There were 2 criminals crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. Those who passed by were yelling insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross." Also, the chief priests, scribes, and the elders mocked Jesus. Their words were, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Now, from the 6th hour, there was darkness all over the land until the 9th hour. Many unusual things happened that night. Many things that they had never seen before. After the choir, we will hear from our next 4 preachers. We will hear the last 4 stands during the 3 hours of darkness. They will be proclaimed by the following. 4th saying from Matthew the 27th chapter and the 46th verse, Reverend Dr. Calvin Bell, 5th Avenue Bethel Baptist Church. The 5th saying, John the 19th chapter, the 28th verse, by Reverend Angelo Hines, Mount Sinai Baptist Church, Martintown. The 6th saying, John 19th chapter and the 30th verse, Reverend David Craig, Mount Pilgrim Baptist Church, Fairfield. The 7th saying, Luke, the 23rd chapter, the 46th verse, Reverend Alfonso, January, Old St. Paul Baptist Church, Bessemer. Before we hear them proclaim the word of God, we will have a selection by the choir. Next, I will not be getting up. We will just thank God for this opportunity. The next will be after the speakers, the invitation to discipleship, remarks, and benediction, Pastor T. Jefferson Rogers, Jr. Thank you.
Thank you. protocol having already been established. Father, I ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, that you will say something. It's in your name I pray. The Son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Matthew 27, verse 46.
Yes.
And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? While it was day, Jesus was nailed to the cross. While it was day, he said to his Father in prayer, forgive them, for they don't understand their doings. While he's on the cross, he's nailed there, and he is praying, petitioning his Father for forgiveness. And yet he is finding room in the daytime to forgive a repentant thief. While it's yet day, he makes room and time in his schedule to make placement and provision for his mother. And then all of a sudden, the clock strikes noon. And the biblical writer in Matthew says that darkness overshadowed the land. Some 1,400 years earlier, this darkness had come upon Egypt. And for 3 days, Pharaoh and his rebellion, because of his rebellion, the ninth plague that came upon Egypt, for 3 days there was darkness, so dark that it could be felt, according to the biblical writer. It was a reminder of the judgment of a righteous and a holy God. We come on up 1,400 years later, and here it is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is nailed to a Roman cross. And there on this day, this Good Friday, but was a bad Friday for Jesus. Darkness comes upon him for 3 long hours. And this darkness also representing the judgment of God against human sin. And so for 3 long hours, for 3 long hours, you can see the sin of humanity being poured into Jesus.
All right.
The sins of people like that madman over in Russia, poured into Jesus. The sins of people like you and me being poured into Jesus. Sins of people from behind and people all in the future, sins being poured into Jesus. And so much sin is poured upon him that darkness permeates the atmosphere. This darkness again that says to us that God is a righteous God and he can't stand to look at his Son in this condition of sin. It was Martin Luther who said, who can ever imagine God abandoning God? You see, this particular verse is about the question of a father's abandonment. God abandoning his Son. God abandoning God. I had a dream. I was roaming around in Bethel Baptist Church And I was looking for my daddy, Sandy McLennan Bell. I was looking for him. I was feverishly looking for him, but I could not find my daddy. And I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked, and nowhere was daddy to be found. And in that dream, the pressure was on me, and I felt like all I needed to resolve my anxiety is just to see my daddy. And here it is in this particular passage. Jesus being weighed down with the sins of humanity, with the sins of the world. And for the first time, when he needed his Father the most, he is hanging there on the cross, silent when they had beat him the night before. Silent when he was just hanging there until he began to speak in the daylight, but all of a sudden began to utter his voice in this cry of desperation. Daddy, Daddy, all right, where are you? Daddy, Daddy, where you at? Daddy, Daddy, I need you. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are a lot of folk in the world that are messed up right now because there was an abandonment by a father or a parent. And there are people that have issues in their lives even to this day. Some folk are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s that have issues because there was no father to be present. And here it is, we see in this passage, brothers and sisters, where Jesus, for the first time in all of history, for the first time in eternity, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ experienced the problem and the plague of not having his Father present with him in the hour when he needed him the most. As a matter of fact, there's the Holy Spirit that had been operating and functioning all along. And yet, here it is that the Holy Spirit seems to be nowhere in sight. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit, God has turned his back. And the Holy Spirit seems to have upset the whole realm of nature so that the earth began to quake and the temple is being torn. The Holy Spirit doesn't know what to do. Jesus experienced abandonment. The abandonment of his Father. My brothers and sisters, this passage reminds us of the depth of our sinfulness.
Yes.
And if you remember that old song, Amazing Grace, this text reminds us where you and I should have been nailed there and crying out in agony, that there was another man who took our place. There was another man that decided that he would die in your place and mine. And so he is yet hanging there on the cross and he's still crying. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Daddy, Daddy, where are you? Praying there to God, sweat the blood come upon him, and the angels came to him to minister to him. But where are the angels? Where are his disciples? Where are those who had been with him all the time? And yet now he stands in isolation. He's hanging there alone. Daddy, Daddy, where are you? Daddy, Daddy, I need you. Daddy, why have you abandoned me?
Amen, amen. The church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you. I'm just ready to go and close it on out. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for this yet another opportunity. Come before your throne of grace. Now, Lord God, I ask that you allow me to decrease
and allow your Holy Spirit to increase in me. Now plant your word upon my mouth, Lord, that it may go forward, that it may land on good ground. Now may the words from my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's in the mighty and precious name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. 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 First, give honor and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to this great man of God, Pastor Rogers, and Pastor Emeritus Walker. Amen. And to all of fellow priest brothers and pastors and all of God's children that's in attendance. We're just so delighted to be here once again and just thank God for this invitation and just to be here a part of this occasion. Amen. 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 Do want to recognize those that are here with me from Mount Sinai. Amen. Thank God for all of you. So glad to have my lovely wife with me, Sister Norris. And I do want to recognize my mother. Amen. Sister Doris Harrison, one of your own. Amen. Just want you to know I love you and thank God for you. Amen. Amen. I have been assigned the fifth saying for this morning, coming from John, the 19th chapter, 28th verse. And it reads as thus: after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. I thirst. The scripture says that Jesus, knowing that all things, all that had been planned, all that had been prophesied, all that had to occur, all that God in his divine wisdom, that his mighty hand had orchestrated, had been accomplished. That the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. You know, it's simply amazing to me when I realize that nothing Christ does is done by chance. Everything that happened from his extraordinary, miraculous birth to his unfortunate betrayal and rejection by his own to be crucified had all been prophesied by scripture, which gives us the blessed assurance of knowing at this and every moment of our lives that God is in control. He's in control, and no matter how often we get to look at this crucifixion story, no matter how often I get to visualize and behold the beauty of the cross, the love of God that he had for his children should become more and more apparent for all of our lives. For you see, this act was no light thing. To be sentenced to death by crucifixion was the most demoralizing sentence a person could receive. Can you just visualize that they whipped him all night long? Even before the cross was in the picture, he was brutally beaten. The image of every blow, not only delivering a grueling pounding, but also ripping and tearing his flesh as he endured it for you and for me. It's been stated that many who had received this inhumane death sentence never made it to the cross. That they died from the beatings. This was no light thing that Christ was suffering. They beat him. They spit on him. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head and submitted his body to cruel and unusual punishment. Can you imagine the loss of blood just at this point? And to make matters even worse, they nailed nails to his hands. Nailed a nail to his feet. Lift him up. stretched and wide. And Christ's physical body did what all of our bodies would do. He began to bleed out. And with the amount of blood lost, that the entire crucifixion process would have caused, dehydration began to set in. The more he hung, the more he bled. The more he bled, the more dehydrated he would have gotten. But how many of you know that this was not just any ordinary prisoner on the cross? Yes, he was 100% man, but he never stopped being God. He that hung upon this cross was the one that merely spoke, and everything in creation came into existence. From the very beginning, he was God's Word. He was with God, and he was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I'm talking about the one that healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, made deaf men hear, and lame men walk. The one who on more than one occasion raised the dead. God's only begotten Son in this horrific but shining moment. After everything had been said and done, declares that he thirsts. He that could have simply spoken and water could have leaked into his mouth said he thirsts. He that turned the waters of Egypt into blood says he thirsts. He that caused the Red Sea to turn into the Georgia Aquarium and allow the Israelites to walk across the Red Sea on dry land said he thirsts. He that turned water into wine said he thirsts. The one that rebuked the winds and the waves in the midst of a terrible storm and made the raging sea to be at peace said he thirsts. He that defied the laws of nature by not only walking on water himself, but called Peter to do so also. But yet now in this moment, he declares that he thirsts. I want you to understand that this moment was not just about Jesus. How powerful it is to realize that this moment was about us. Christ came to be a living sacrifice for your sins and for mine. Oh, that's good news, y'all. We owe the debt that we could not pay. And Christ paid a debt that he did not owe. Everything was going according to God's plan. And in this moment of seemingly overwhelming circumstances, Christ declares that he thirsts. I want you to understand, to fully appreciate this moment, it's important for us to realize that Christ took our place on the cross. That should have been you. And that should have been me. It was us in the fullness of representation. And every moment Christ being upon that cross, he was doing it for you. And he was doing it for me. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that he stayed upon that cross. I'm so glad that he had every one of us in mind, that he endured the cross. I'm so glad that he looked down through the corridors of time and saw all of our shortcomings, all of our vices, all of our trials, all of our tribulations, all of our mistakes, all of our sins and poured them out on the cross. And in crying out that he thirsts, he was speaking for all of us. Oh, he was speaking for the addict who continues to seek satisfaction in drugs. And he's saying, I thirst. He was speaking for the alcoholic who spends all day, every day, drinking away his sorrows, and is saying, I thirst. He was speaking for the adulterer whose lust for the flesh is constantly chasing every skirt he sees, and is saying, I thirst. He was speaking for the liar, the backbiter, the mess keeper, who always has to have some mess going on, and is saying, I thirst. And oh, let me bring it on home. He was speaking for a poor wretch like me. When I thought that I was big enough to do everything I wanted to do, living life carelessly with no regard of what God had to say. And I was crying out, saying, I thirst. Oh, so glad, y'all, that Christ satisfied my thirst on Calvary, on that hill called Calvary. So glad that he took captivity captive upon that old rugged cross. I'm so glad for the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross and delivered us from the grips of sin. May God bless you and keep you. Here's our prayer.
Lord have mercy, man. Yeah, I'll tell the pastor, he ain't right here. No, he ain't. But my Lord, amen. Bless you, son. Amen, amen. It's just good to be here. Amen. Ain't nothing like good old Baptist preaching. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord have mercy. Jesus, I'm sitting there. Hollingworth already told you was in trouble. So he did him like that, but I'm telling you that sure enough messed me up. Man. But Lord have mercy. God bless you, man. Amen. It's been awesome this morning. And we've had a blessed time. Amen. I'm hearing some of these guys I never heard before. And man, my heart has been blessed. Amen. God bless you, Dr. Hines. Amen. Amen. And it's just good to be here. All these preachers that are here. Pastor Rogers, thank you so much for the invitation. And I don't know. And then I'm seeing Dr. Walker here, and I thought I wanted to say this. I believe I said to. I want to just thank Dr. Rogers for being a big man. Yeah. And I said it because it takes a big man to honor another man. Yeah. And honor that he bestowed on my friend. And I'm just, God bless you, sir. Amen. Sometimes, you know, folks can come into a place and they think ain't nothing happened till they got there. But then for you to take time and recognize and honor my friend. I just thank God for you. Amen. But I'm on assignment, and I want to thank God for the invitation to be here. And I thank God for my wife. She's out there. Wave your hand, baby. And all right. And also, we have members from Mount Pilgrim Church that are here. Will you guys just simply wave your hand? Thank God for you. And my uncle is here, Reverend Elbert Jones, who also, and Aunt Mary, part of Mount Pilgrim. Thank God for you. Amen. Again, I dare not miss my sister, Shirley, back in the back. And I just thank y'all for all that you've done. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, sometimes you get up like this, be kind of messed up. You know, what they call discombobulated, whatever. I heard somebody use that word. I don't know exactly what it means, but I feel like that. Hallelujah. But my assignment today is to talk about it is finished. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, amen, they gave the vinegar instead of water. And he said, it is finished. Amen. What an awesome statement. Have you ever had anyone to come and provide some kind of service for you, maybe repairing your home, and you wait for them to finish, and sometimes they don't finish, and you want to tell them what you're waiting on. But this word, it is finished, says volumes about what Jesus had come to do. It is finished. Three words. It is finished. In the Greek word, it just used one word, telesteia. Says it's completed. Mission accomplished. And tied in with that is excitement. It was just like when somebody finished doing work at your home and you were ready to get them out the way and be able to enjoy the work that has been performed. And tell us, stay out. It's finished. You say, I'm glad you're through. Amen. And so when we think about Jesus saying it is finished, what is he saying? Jesus had an assignment. And when he completed his assignment, he was able to say, telesteia, it's finished. It's complete. But I want to ask you to indulge me in the book of Hebrews chapter number 10. And I want you to get the scope of his assignment. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. So, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers therefore perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshiper, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For if it not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin, wherefore, when he cometh into the world,
He said, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he says sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. For then shall he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by which will we sanctify, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standing there ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which could never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
When I read this, it gives me the scope of Jesus' assignment. Man was in sin.
Yes, sir.
And there was nothing could satisfy the penalty of sin. Ever since the beginning, they were offering sacrifices. Even in the garden when Adam sinned, and there was an animal that was killed to cover his nakedness, and there was a shedding of blood, but it still couldn't take away sin. And all along, God instituted the sacrificial system. And they would offer up bullocks, all kind of sacrifice to take away sin. But it never would take away sin. They're always, and even the priests, year after year, they came and offered often the same sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
But it could not deal with man's sin. But Jesus had an assignment. That assignment was to deal with the sins of man. No matter what we did, we could never satisfy our sin debt. No matter how many sacrifices were offered. You know, it's sort of like having a bill that you never can satisfy. And we had a sin that could not be satisfied. Somebody said, but Jesus. Jesus had an assignment. God gave him a body. He came into this world. And as he walked along the dusty streets of Palestine, doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, all of those things that he did, and the Father observed him. All the while he was doing the work, he was watching. And one time he intervened at the baptism and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But God watched as they persecuted Jesus. He watched them take him from judgment hall to judgment hall. And when Jesus was on trial, God was looking around when there was no one that would come up and testify on behalf of Jesus. Even his disciples forsook him. Peter denied him. And
And I wonder, where was the man that had the withered hand? When Jesus needed somebody to testify on his behalf. Where was the woman who was on her way to the cemetery with her son? And he stopped the possession and raised that boy up. Surely she could have come to the trial of Jesus and testified. And the father was looking on and watched all of that. And he looked at his son going through the persecution, the denial. And no one stood up for him. And Jesus, they took him and nailed him on the cross. But that's why he came. You saw him one time, even in the Garden of Eden, praying, asking the Father, let this cup pass from me, but not thy will, but thy will. And so when Jesus was praying and sweat fell from his brow like drops of blood, while he was praying, the Father was looking at him and did not do a thing. He watched his son. And so now he's hanging on the cross. He's hanging on the cross in agony. Amen. The sun quit shining. The moon dripped away in blood. The earth, amen, quaking and convulsing. And God seemed to have turned it back. We heard the preacher say, amen, Daddy, where are you? And God seemed to have forsaken him. But God, amen, even if he turned his back, he still got to see you. No matter where you are, you're under the watch of God. But God watched his son. And while Jesus was on the cross, Jesus, amen, uttered these words, it is finished. In other words, Father, what you sent me in the world to do. It was hard. I prayed about it. But dear God, I said, it is finished. Thank God that Jesus finished. Somebody said he finished. Hallelujah. As God watched him, I'm so glad today that I can say that he finished. Because he finished, salvation is mine. Because he finished, all of my sins have been washed away. Because he finished, I have a gospel to preach. I can preach to the addict. I can tell him that Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. No matter how much you drink, that the blood of Jesus can cover you. I'm glad that he finished. But I want to tell you another thing. He finished, but God was not through. He did what he had to do, but God was waiting in the balances.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Said, go ahead, son. Let them drive nails in your hand. Yes. Go ahead, son. Let them put a crown of thorns on your head. And God stood there watching. He said, you said you're finished. But I'm not through. God said, y'all go ahead and bury him. And let me raise him on the third day. God was not through. Jesus did what he had to do. But on the third day morning, God dispatched an angel. Roll the stone away. Call his son out of the grave. Stood up and said, I got all power. And heaven and earth is in my hands. I'm so glad that he finished. And because he finished, I got joy. Oh, have mercy. Anybody got joy? Hallelujah. I got joy that the world couldn't give me. And right now the world can't take it away. Oh, come on, stay with me. He finished. He finished. And because he finished, you and I can go out and tell a sinner that God saves to the utmost. You know what I thought about this? When God stood there and and watched his son, God starts singing. That's my son. Hanging on the cross. Amen. I believe God starts singing, that's my son. Hallelujah. Hanging on the cross. He's died for you. He's died for the whole world. He finished. Tell your neighbor, he finished.
Gracious God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to do honor this pastor, and Pastor Rogers. We got two of them in the building, but Pastor Rogers. Pastor Walker. To all of my brethren in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What else can be said? I had to sit there and amen everybody. There is one last word in Luke's gospel, recorded by Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through verse 49. But I just want to stop at verse 46. Now it was about the sixth hour. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. The day God died. How can God die? He's from everlasting to everlasting. But yet he died. He breathed his last. This is a fulfillment scripture in the book of Psalms 31 and verse 5. It was a Jewish prayer. They taught their children to pray.
Jesus' last words was a prayer. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What a strange day. What a day out of the ordinary. From the sixth to the ninth hour, darkness covered the earth. I've heard preachers say that the sun refused to shine. The sun showed up that morning. It wasn't AWOL. In verse 45, it was darkened. Who darkened it? There was two sons that showed up that day. The sun that showed up to bring heat and brightness to the earth was darkened. Because there was darkness, and Brother Hines and others explain why the darkness came. But it was a strange day. It was not no anyone being crucified. God Himself was hanging on the cross. And because the Creator was on the cross, nature had a fit. Matthew said the earth shook. And since it got dark at noon, looked like the people should have shook. Darkness was all over. The rocks started falling apart. Unusual day. Now everybody up here said to have 10 minutes. Now don't y'all time me. Because they went over. It was dark. The sun, I said, showed up, but it had a blackout. And the veil in the temple that separated man's access to God
Man couldn't get to God unless a way had been made. The veil in the temple split. So you and I can have access to God. But you got to understand that Jesus said, I am the way. The true bread of life. No man can get to the Father unless they come by me. Strange thing is happening. Then Jesus cried out, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last. There are many pastors here that had to come to some family homes and watch people, loved ones, take their last breath. When I leave this world, I want to have these words on my lips. Father, into your hands. I commit my spirit. This body going back to dust. But that soul must go to God. That spirit. And he prayed this prayer. And he breathed his last. God died. He died, but he still was alive.
Yes, sir.
God the Father.
Yes.
God the Son.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
So much so that the earth started reeling and rocking.
Uh-huh.
And the centurion said, surely. I've been watching him. I'm looking at him. Surely. This must have been the Son of God. And Jesus went alone. He had acquaintances. He had women there. He had some support. But his last words was to his Father. He said, Father, into thy hands. Not no other hands. Your hands. I commit my spirit. If you see me, you see the Father. The Father and I are one. He died. Thank God he died. He gave up the ghost. You know, he knew no sin. How can he die when he know no sin? Or when he had no sin? What he did, he had to become sin. As Jacob put on Esau clothes, Jesus put on our sin. Y'all ain't gonna help me today. And death came. But death didn't take his life because he said, no man take my life. I lay it down. I got
power to lay it down, and I got power to take it up again. This was given to me by my Father. Some of us, we pray, but we lack a relationship with God. I've heard people come to church and they said, God, and they called God's name so proper. But you need a relationship with God, and you need to know He's our Father. I wish I had a witness. You ought to know He's your Father. There are times I have to get away by myself and pray and say, Father, I stretch these hands to Thee. No other help I know. I want you to know He died.
He died.
I said He died. He gave up His back to the cross. Gave His hands to the nails. Feet to the nails. But when He got ready to die, He gave His spirit to His Father. He died, but He didn't stay dead. I said He died. Why did He die? That you and I may live. He died to purchase my salvation. And I'm so glad that my Lord died and He went in the grave and He went and preached to the souls that was in captivity. But somehow early Sunday morning, an old preacher told me that never leave Christ in the grave. Can I tell you, He tasted death for every man. You ought to say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. I'm so glad that when He died, He took the sting out of death. When I was a youngster, I used to play with wasps. Amen. The only way you can play with wasps, you got to take the sting out. Do y'all hear what I say? I'm not worried about death because the sting has been taken out. Jesus cried with a loud voice. This loud voice wasn't the voice of a weakling. It was a cry of victory. Do y'all hear what I say? Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. Oh yes, when He died, the grave was open, and the dead started walking around in Jerusalem. Ain't God all right? When He died, the ground starts shaking. Ain't God all right? And the rocks protest. And for 3 hours, He hung on the cross. But when it was finished, He gave up the ghost. And He went on down in the grave. Grave said, I got everybody. Grave said, I haven't lost one customer. I got everybody. Death said, I done grabbed every man. Ain't God all right? Death said I got a good record. Grace and everybody who died and was we came back to life, they died again. Grace said I got everybody. But death said, well, this one said, if he died in 3 days later, he would come back alive. Grave said, well, I haven't lost one customer. Ain't God all right? Death said, well, do you mind me sitting in to see if this one, amen, will break your record? Grave said, don't worry, I got him. Ain't God all right? I got Abraham. I got Isaac. I got Jacob. I got Daniel. I got Jeremiah. I got everybody that God has used. But I heard him say, this man said in 3 days, I rise again. Grace said, well, I got him. Somehow when he died, amen, he stayed in the grave Friday, Saturday. But Saturday night, something started happening. Ain't God all right? Grace said, I'm trying to hold on, but there's a power that's taking my power away. He rose, then he rise. Anybody know he got up? Anybody know he up right now? Can I tell you every day I'm giving God myself? I'm putting myself in his hands. Ain't God all right? Since I'm the last one, can I tell you I'm blessed? I'm better than blessed. Even in this pandemic, I'm blessed. Anybody has God been taking care of? Because you're in his hands. Look like I can gain more weight. I got more than I need. God is blessing me. And he all right. Look at your neighbor. Say, hey neighbor. It's good to be in God's hands. Ain't God all right? That hand will watch over you. That hand will bless you. Ain't he all right? Say yes. Yeah. just did my little part. Into thy hands, Father, I commit my spirit. Paul said he's able to keep all that we commit unto him against that day. He's a keeper. Anybody know he's a keeper? I said he's a keeper. Put it all in his hands. This and that. Put it all in his hands. I'm glad I'm in his hands. I had an accident. Ain't God all right? And the insurance company, I hope that I ain't getting nobody in trouble, but it's all safe. Their commercial said you in good hands with all state. But can I tell you, the person who hit me had all state. They hit me in the back, and I'm still waiting on my check. These ain't good hands. Do y'all hear me? But since I'm in better hands, God taking care of me. Anybody know you take care of me? Say yes. Say yes. I've been sick. He made me well. I've been broke. Put money in my pocket. I've had people hurt me. But God sent people to heal me. Ain't he all right? I said, ain't he all right? I'm going to my seat. I can't wait till Sunday morning. So I just say again, he died up. Did he get up? I said, did he get up? Yeah. I know y'all want me to sit down, but I got the mic. Ain't God all right? I said, he got up. Did he get up? I said, did he get up? You ought to act like he lived. I said, you ought to act like he lived. You ought to walk like he lived. You ought to talk like he lived. You ought to hold your head up like he lived. Ain't God all right?
Everyone's in their feet quickly. Preaching merits an invitation. Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2 said, I decided to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and crucified. Why is it on this day we came together to preach the sayings of Christ on the cross? It's to bring us back to a point of commemoration and celebration. It's to remind some that you can't have salvation with a crossless Christ. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what your lineage. Who you know uptown and downtown. If you don't believe Jesus died on Calvary for your sin, was buried, and God raised him, you still lost.
Yes, still lost.
The message of the church is not a message of riches.
No.
A message of socialism. It is a message of a sacrificial Christ. He died. He died. He was buried. And God raised him. Listen, if someone is here today and you have not believed the message of Christ, you have heard it preached. Today is your opportunity to believe on Jesus and be saved. If you believe with your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen, you've had enough preaching to save the world. And I thank God for good for preaching. You know, if you live in your own way, they all threw the ball across the plate. Some underhanded. Some overhanded. Some fastball. Some curveball. Some slider. But it went across the plate. And I'm happy because I heard the story of how Jesus died. Listen, if you're here, and I said, come. Second, if you're here and you need a church home, we have churches represented. Listen, I've come to understand that it's bigger than Bethlehem because the kingdom of God uses the churches as utensils to extend, exalt and illustrate the kingdom in the earth. If you need a church home, we have churches represented here, and we'll send you by way of letter to the church in which the Holy Spirit is being referred to. If you're here, you're back to you. The altar of God is open. You know, I've noticed now that the altars are picking. That we're so unrepentant. We don't confess. But listen, when you come down here, it's between you and God. He said, if you're ashamed to own me before man, I will be ashamed to own you before my Father. Amen. The doors of the Lord's house. You can come by the Christian experience and this baptism. Come on. Come on.
Thank you.
preachers and pastors to stand. Amen. All preachers and pastors. Amen. Come on, bless God for teachers and pastors in the gospel.